All Games Radio Online presents the Bobby Blackwolf Show, week of September 11th, 2005.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, the show that gives gamers a voice, from a live broadcast to podcast, All Games Radio Online presents the Bobby Blackwolf Show.
For the next hour, we'll discuss the latest gaming news and gaming trends, as well as touching on your favorite classics. From Atari to Xbox, we'll talk about it all. Our Skype line is always open at Bobby Blackwolf Show, so if you can't be here for our live Sunday night broadcast, feel free to voice your opinion for a future episode. To participate in our live broadcast, join us in the AllGames.com chat room on the GameSurge IRC network or on our forums at AllGames.com.
And now, Bobby Blackwolf.
Hello, hello. Hello again, and welcome to another edition of the Bobby Blackwolf Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwolf. For the live folks, we are hanging out in the AllGames.com chat room on the GameSurge IRC network, and our Skype line is Bobby Blackwolf Show, all one word. For the podcast folks out there, feel free to call our Skype line's voicemail with your thoughts on any topic in the gaming industry, or just leave me an email at blackwolf@allgames.com, and you might hear yourself on the air. And thanks to Kropotkin for providing the short UK news segment that runs before this show goes live, and it's available as a podcast feed. Check it out on our website, which is allgames.com/podcast, or at his site, kropotkin.co.uk. This week on the show, we're going to be playing an interview that I did with a fan-made, web-based MMORPG set in the Star Wars universe, Star Wars Combine. I took that interview at Dragon Con. We're going to play it on a little bit later on the show. But first, I want to talk about the PSP in Europe. According to ChartTrack, the Sony PSP has sold more than 185,000 units since launching on September 1st. This makes it the most successful hardware launch in UK history, shattering the record previously held by the Nintendo DS at 87,000, which was set in March of 2005. Now, despite heavy sales, Sony Computer Entertainment Europe is apparently meeting hardware demand. Why couldn't they do this here? I remember the PS2 shortage, but anyway. The software for the PSP is also selling well, although no singular title stood out particularly in terms of sales. Ridge Racer recorded the most sales at 37,000 units sold, and other hit titles include Wipeout Pure, Virtua Tennis, and Metal Gear Acid, for a total of 20 PSP titles entering in the UK top 40 charts. 24 games were available at launch, the largest for any console, with 20 entering the all formats top 40, and 9 games breaking into the top 10. Games were priced at £34.99, I think that's what it is. I need to get with Kropotkin. And the console itself is retailing at £179. Does this make Nintendo scared? I mean, because they kept harping on, you know, how they had the most sales, and now it looks like PSP actually finally won in a market. And I wonder if the fact that it was released a year later than in Japan, if that helped drive sales. It'll be interesting to see Nintendo's response and where it goes from here. In fact, speaking of the Nintendo DS a little bit, we bought another DS for around here because my girlfriend really wanted Nintendogs, and I wanted to play it, and I didn't want her touching my dog. And so we broke down, got her a one of the blue DSs that are $129 now, and got her Nintendogs, and I got Nintendogs. And one thing about Nintendogs that is misleading and that I want to point out to people is the bark mode is not multiplayer. Don't think that it's multiplayer. What it does is it sends wirelessly your dog and your trainer information to the other DS, and then it turns off the Wi-Fi. And you just play with their dog for a while, and then eventually it'll end. You only get like a specified time. They don't make that clear. They make it think like you're going to be able to play with another person, but really you're just going to play with their dog data, and nothing gets sent back after the initial connection. So I wanted to point that out. But Nintendogs isn't out in Europe yet, so maybe that people are going for the PSP because of that. But, I mean, Sony won in Europe, at least for right now. So congrats to them. And maybe the Nintendo fanboys like myself will have to shut up for a little bit. We got a bunch of stuff that I wanted to run down here right at the very beginning. Going into the PlayStation 3, this week the Inquirer reported that the Blu-ray drives for the PlayStation 3 will cost Sony a small fortune. It turns out that the release of the console in the first half of 2006, Sony will have to pay more than $100 per drive that it builds in the PlayStation 3. But, you know, Sony's going to take that price hit in order to get Blu-ray drives into consumers' hands, which is a smart strategy for them. As I've been saying, Microsoft has been dropping the ball by not offering HD DVD in the Xbox 360 or not offering an upgrade to the early adopters if they can't get it out by November. But having the Blu-ray in the PS3 is going to really help out the Blu-ray DVD side of the new high-definition DVD format wars. You know, Sony's trying not to repeat the same mistakes that they made in the past because Betamax was better than VHS. They just lost. We're in the chat room, allgames.com, and I'm looking through and going to grab comments. I'm also going to turn on my Skype line, which is Bobby Blackwolf Show, all one word. Another one I was going to mention that is actually down at the bottom of my notes here. Hang on a second. Scroll. A lot of people were talking about this in the chat room. Final Fantasy VII Advent Children, which is the highly anticipated, eagerly awaited CG movie that's based on the Final Fantasy VII game. Just a few hours ago, the full Japanese DVD release was leaked by a Hong Kong pirate group. And it's set to release September 14th in Japan in both DVD and UMD format, and it's going to get released in North America in November, but people are already starting to download it. It's not even subtitled in English yet, and they're just getting it for the fight scenes for right now. My personal opinion on that about, you know, my thing is I've never been a big fan of subtitles, which will probably upset some otaku out there. I'm a dubbed person because I like to enjoy and take in the art of the animation and the artistry of it, and if I'm stuck looking at the bottom quarter of the screen trying to read what's going on, that kind of detracts from the experience. So I'm going to wait until November, even though I am interested in seeing it. It really was the best thing they showed at E3 in their little in the Squeenix trailer, but I don't think I'm going to bother trying to download the rip. If you, you can probably Google for it and find it. I'm not going to give you the link or anything. But if you really want to spend the time to download it, it's out there. Somebody from Hong Kong got it before it even came out in Japan. Rare says, boo, subs are better, generic nerdy rant. So insert a generic nerdy rant right there about subtitles. I could go on and on about it, but it's outside of the scope of this show. DC Nate says, going back to the PSP, in the latest Popular Science magazine, they show how to get the emulators and stuff on your PSP. We were talking about emulators earlier, and one of the things I've been doing this week on my PSP was playing Earthbound, which I bought when it came out for the Super Nintendo, but I like the idea of being able to save anywhere in the emulators, having the save states and all that stuff. So I actually prefer playing some games like that on an emulator. Maybe if somebody would put something on the Super Nintendo, like a Game Genie-type device that would allow me to save the state, that'd be cool. I don't think that's going to happen, though. Fifth Dream says, Japanese with Japanese subtitles equals love. Doomplague says, you know, forget subbing, forget dumbing, let's ban all foreign movies altogether. Scroll right back up, we're going to talk about some other stuff here. Gamma Sutra reported this week that the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission approved the proposed merger of GameStop and Electronics Boutique as they join in their fight against the big box stores such as Walmart and Best Buy. Both companies have each scheduled Thursday, October 6th, as the date for their respective annual stockholders meeting to consider and vote upon the proposed merger. The companies hope to close the merger in early October, shortly after receiving approval from their respective stockholders. Now, if completed, the merger between GameStop and EB would create a single company representing 20-30% of the overall market for video game products in the United States, and practically the entire retail market for used games. It's currently unknown whether EB and GameStop stores would still keep their current monikers or unite under one central name for branding purposes. News of the SEC's approval has buoyed GameStop's stock, which is increasing over a dollar to $35.09 as of the press time of this Gamma Sutra article earlier this week. Electronics Boutique's stock also reacted positively with almost up over a dollar to $65.55. From what I understand, from what people have told me, actually GameStop is the one who is on top of this. They're the ones that bought EB. And kind of like what happened with the old Software Etc.'s and Funko Lands, they're all going to become GameStop, pretty soon. But I think the EB Games name is going to stick around for a little while until they bring it in. In other buying news, News Corporation bought IGN. Rupert Murdoch's News Corporation, they own Fox, Fox News, MySpace, and a bunch of other things. They announced on Thursday that it would buy IGN Entertainment Incorporated, a web network for video game fans, for about $650 million. This is part of a rapid-fire strategy to expand its online entertainment and media. $650 million. Rich Greenfield, an analyst with Fulcrum Global Partners LLC, said they're going after web properties that mirror the demographic of the viewer of The OC, following the activities of what those same consumers do online. The OC? Does anybody out there that play video games watch The OC? I don't get it. I don't know if that's a good thing to be lumped in with people that watch The OC. Anyway, IGN, controlled by private equity firm Great Hill Partners, operates websites for video game enthusiasts, including TeamXbox.com and GameSpy.com, as well as movie review site RottenTomatoes.com and male lifestyle network AskMen.com. The company also provides technology for online gameplay. IGN revenue in the first 6 months of 2005 more than doubled to $28.7 million from $14.1 million a year ago, according to a filing with U.S. securities regulators. Its net loss narrowed to $7.5 million for the period from $11.6 million. IGN will become part of the newly minted Fox Interactive Media Unit, which will also oversee the operations of Intermix and Scout. So, is IGN going to become a propaganda piece for the right that everybody's complaining about, or are they just going to cancel IGN like they canceled Firefly? Sorry, I'm a little bitter about that. Gene Starwin says that Rupert Murdoch will compete with EA for owning the world. Rupert Murdoch has a head start, I think, on that one. He'd just buy EA, according to DC Nate. Rare says that he never had a good experience with Funko Land. They always tried to overcharge. Which is why it's probably a good thing that they're all kind of going together. At least on the GameSpot IGN thing, I think they're going to combine and make 40% of the gaming market and like almost 100% of the used gaming market. So that's a big deal, and I don't know if it's going to put a dent in Best Buy or Walmart. Doom Plague says that Walmart already owns the world. Bobby Blackwolf show on Skype, if anybody wants to talk about it, or I can bore you guys here. We can go on to another thing that I was going to talk about, Rockstar. We can go back to Rockstar, can't we? It's been a few days. It's been a few weeks since we've really talked about Rockstar. And this time we're not going to really talk too much about the political issues, even though that's coming later, trust me. CNN Money is saying that Take-Two Interactive, which is the publishing company that owns Rockstar Games, is still a good buy. Although the recent hot coffee scandal made them lower their sales guidance for the fiscal third quarter and forced them to report a greater-than-accepted loss, some analysts say that the company will do fine in the long run. Michael Pachter, an analyst with Wedbush Morgan Securities, said that the hot coffee flap was something that should not have a long-term effect on Take-Two's sales and profits. The stock's been beaten up too much. The hot coffee thing is a one-off. There will be no lasting impact, he said. And the new adults-only rating for San Andreas isn't likely to lead a huge decline in the game's popularity, argues Janco Partners analyst Mike Hickey, since the average gamer is in their mid to late 20s. So if anything, the sex scene controversy might give future Grand Theft Auto titles even more buzz. Hickey said, longer-term hot coffee could be a benefit. Considering the age range of GTA players, it's just one thing to make a bad boy title even better to market. For core gamers, this publicity strengthens the brand. Maybe. I know a lot of people are actually more upset about the attention that Rockstar has come on. Now, what's interesting that from this article is that even though several retailers were quick to pull San Andreas last month, many are still willing to sell the latest game for the PSP. To that end, Grand Theft Auto Liberty City Stories is currently the top-selling PSP game on Walmart.com. That actually surprised me, because I don't look at Walmart. Then there's some other stuff in here in the CNN Money article that talks about Bully that's supposed to come out soon and stuff like that. So, I'll link to it in the show notes so you can hear it. San Andreas, though, is getting its re-release finally, for those of you who wish you could play it in an M-rated version. According to EB Games and GameStop's website, San Andreas will re-release by next week. Now, while Grand Theft Auto San Andreas did not come out on August 29th, which was the initial date. The new dates are closer to the 6 to 8 week turnaround time originally stated by Take-Two. It's currently listed on GameStop's website as pre-release 8/29/05. EB Games says that it's going to be coming 9/19/05, September 19th. So, and right now it's just the Xbox version. They're not listing the PS2 and the PC. And Liberty City Stories, the initial release date of it was September 1st, which is why I actually listed it as a new release a couple weeks ago. The PSP iteration of Grand Theft Auto is released a promotional website finally. It includes several fake websites, such as CitizensUnitedAgainstTechnology.org, PolysReview.net, and AmuNation.net. And it also includes a trailer that, when I saw it, had mostly cutscenes that actually aren't in any of the... I mean, they're in the game, but it's all stylized in that whole broken window look that Grand Theft Auto does. No gameplay in it. So I don't really know how the game's going to be. I don't think anybody really knows how the game's going to be right now, because all they're showing is the cutscenes, which are done in real time in the game engine. So, I mean, that's impressive, but it says nothing about the gameplay. I'm not going to buy it because it can have cutscenes. If I want to see cutscenes, I'll go buy Final Fantasy VII Advent Children. Interlogic says that he's been dying to get the game again. He can't stand clothed oral sex. DC Nate says that the edited game is probably going to be hyped and get another ad campaign like OMG Band Edition LOL. Rare says there are still no Liberty City Story screenshots. Yes, there are. There's a few. You'd have to go on their site there. There are some screens, and apparently there are some gameplay videos hidden in those secret websites. They make you go look for the actual gameplay footage. I have not found them because I haven't spent all that time looking. Now, kind of in with this a little bit, California, the state of California. If you live in California, you might want to know this. The Senate in California passed Leland Yee's violent games bill. Game Daily says that after being passed by the California Senate on a bipartisan vote 22-9 last night, on a bipartisan 65-7 vote, the California State Assembly approved his legislation, which is AB 1179, and it would subject retailers who violate the act up to $1,000 for each violation. In addition, Yee's bill would require violent games to be labeled with a designation for adult sale only with a white 18 sticker outlined in black, which would be about 2 inches by 2 inches, and that's a little bit bigger than the ESRB ratings. Governor Schwarzenegger now has 30 days to either sign or veto the bill. Assuming the governor signs it into law, it would go into effect January 1st, at the same time it's that Illinois law. Now, the video game industry, represented by the ESA, they filed a lawsuit seeking relief from the Illinois law, and it's likely that they would do the same in California. Now, here's one thing that I want you to consider. Arnold Schwarzenegger is kind of in the entertainment industry, and he's actually in video games. His voice and likeness has been used in the Terminator games. So do you think he's going to sign it? He might veto it. There's some speculation that he's going to veto it because that's his industry when he's not governating. But Leland Yee said that Governor Schwarzenegger is no longer an action star, but an elected representative of all Californians. I am hopeful that he will consider our children's best interest by signing this common sense legislation into law and giving parents a necessary tool to raise healthy kids. The necessary tool out there is that little ESRB rating that says M and says 17 plus. That's the tool. You know, I don't think you need to trample on First Amendment rights just to stop parents from buying games. I mean, if they're not going to see the 18 if they can't see the M. Now, granted, this would actually stop the kids themselves from buying it, but if the parent goes in and buys it, they can still get the game from this legislation. It really doesn't change much. Now, here's the funny part. According to a press release issued by Leland Yee, it cites the Federal Trade Commission. Nearly 70% of 13 to 16-year-olds are able to purchase M-rated video games, which are designed for adults. These violent video games are learning tools for our children and clearly result in more aggressive behavior. This was said by Randall Hagar, who's California Psychiatric Association's Director of Governmental Affairs, and he seemed to be reiterating the American Psychological Association's recent findings. Studies prove that playing these violent video games are bad for kids' mental and physical health. This was said by Jim Steyer, who's the founder of Common Sense Media, a nonprofit organization of 750,000 regular users dedicated to improving children's media lives. Now, get this. You ready for this? The health threat involved with kids playing such games is equivalent to smoking cigarettes. Cigarettes? I mean, I've heard people say the same thing about, like, you know, World of Warcraft. that, you know, it's as addictive as cigarettes and they should have Surgeon General warnings. Now do we have to put a Surgeon General warning on Final Fantasy because it depicts violence and fighting? I mean, I don't get this. Anyway, to provide the other side of this, ESA has responded with the following statement from Gail Markles, who's the Senior Vice President and General Counsel. The Entertainment Software Association is disappointed by the California General Assembly's action. We believe that AB 1179 is unnecessary and will restrict the First Amendment rights of California citizens. Instead of signing a clearly unconstitutional bill into law, we're asking the governor to focus his resources on a more effective resolution, working with industry in our efforts to help parents make the right game choices for their unique families. In the end, this is an effort to substitute the government's judgment for parental supervision and turn retailers into surrogate parents. This is misguided. Each family is unique. There is no question that some games have content that is offensive to some audiences. The same can be said of TV, films, music, books, and podcasts. Wait a minute. Never mind. That wasn't in there. But government does not regulate their sales, nor should government regulate the sale of video games. Ultimately, parents, not government or industry, must be the gatekeepers when it comes to deciding what media should be brought into the home. Hooray! Finally, somebody got it, but that's the ESA, and a lot of people will attack them for wanting to kill our kids. So let's see here. Rare says that the governator will terminate M-rated games in a gory, bloody fashion. Gene Starwin says that he got cancer from his Xbox. And DC Nate is wondering if there are secondhand mature game vibes. And Gene Starwin has said, hasn't violent crimes in children gone down since Grand Theft Auto? Yes, it has. But we don't pay attention to that, just like we don't pay attention to the fact that CD sales have gone up since Napster and Kazaa and all them. We don't pay attention to that. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break right now. When I say break, I say I'm going to stop talking for a little bit and let someone else talk. Dragon Con 2005 was last week, and I was able to talk to a couple of video game developers. We heard Funcom last week, and this week, this is a fan-made, web-based MMORPG. It's been going on for an extremely long time. It's called Star Wars Combine. And Jennifer Drayton, who's on the that's what she goes by online, she's on the administrative team, and she flew out from Berlin to Atlanta, and she was gracious enough to give us a few minutes of her time to describe the game. And then for the people listening live, we're going to play some music from Sonic CD just to kill some time. You won't be able to hear that on the podcast, but you are going to hear the full interview here with Star Wars Combine. You're listening to the Bobby Blackwolf Show on All Games Radio Online. Bobby Blackwolf back at Dragon Con 2005. I've actually found somebody from Berlin showing off a web-based MMORPG. We're talking to Jennifer Drayton, is what she goes by online. She's a part of the administration team of Star Wars Combine. How are you doing today?
Hi, I'm doing fine, as always, on Dragon Con.
Is this your first Dragon Con?
No, I've been here last year. We are having panels on our game here for the fourth year in a row now.
And what is Star Wars Combine? It's a web-based MMORPG, but what does it bring to the table that, say, Star Wars Galaxies doesn't?
It's a different concept. We are completely done by fans, so you will not find flashy 3D graphics. We have a slightly different concept insofar as everything important is done by players. Like, for example, if you play Galaxies, you can move around, you can look around at Coruscant, you can see the Emperor, but you cannot be the Emperor. In our game, you can be the Emperor. The Emperor is a player. The leader of the Rebel Alliance is a player. Every pilot is a player, so it's very much player-centered and community-centered.
What all can you do in the game? I saw in there that you could fly around, but you can also be on foot. What all can you do in the game?
You can own stuff. You can own ships and vehicles. As you said, you can move around. You can look around. You can interact with other characters. The main feature that is not fully implemented is combat. So you cannot have big fights. There are some very limited features that come close to it, but very limited so far.
You said that it's player-centric, which is really interesting to me. About the community, have they been behaving? What type of things do you guys do to people who don't behave? Are there laws passed by the players? How does that work?
This is always a problem in every game. Everyone knows this problem. There are some rules set up, and if you break them, you can be banned from the game. You can be banned permanently, or you can be banned for a few weeks. We try usually to not intervene if it's not absolutely necessary. We try to allow our players to do whatever they want and shape the universe however they want it to look like. But sometimes if things go out of balance, we have to intervene. Maybe, for example, if by a bug someone gains 300 million credits, we have to take it out. Or if someone is abusing a feature, even if he's doing it within the rules, we have to do something about it because it would completely unbalance the game. Then we have to do something, whatever is necessary.
So how long is this game running now? How long has it been running?
The game is up since 1998, so we are now up for 7 years. We are now using our third game engine. We developed with time. At first, the game was with a client of its own. It was done in Java. Then we had a second client in Visual Basic. Then we decided to switch to a web-based solution and go for a MySQL PHP architecture that is very popular for browser games.
Is it officially licensed by Star Wars, or is it just a fan-made, or how does that work?
We are not licensed. As we are all a fan project, we cannot afford a license. But LucasArts know about us, and they tolerate us. I think they understood that they rather profit from us than that we're taking anything from us. At a certain time, they wanted to close us down. This was maybe a year before Galaxies came out, and they actually considered us competition for Galaxies, which was one of the greatest compliments we ever got. To be considered competition by LucasArts is great. It's fantastic. We exchange a few mails every few months, and I think they keep watching us. Sometimes we feel like maybe they're stealing small features from us. And we're always very proud if they do.
So how can people get to your game? It's free, so where do they go to play the game?
They can simply go to our website. It's www.swcombine.com.
Thank you very much for spending time with the Bobby Blackwolf Show. Enjoy the rest of the con.
Thanks a lot.
If Bobby Blackwolf was a storybook character, he would have smothered Grandma with a pillow, ate Little Red Riding Hood, and bent that woodsman over a stump and sodomized him with his own axe. I guess it's a good thing he sticks to internet radio. And now, more of the Bobby Blackwolf Show.
That's still my favorite. Thank you, Sage Claw, for the bumper. If you want to leave a bumper, Bobby Blackwolf Show on Skype anytime during the week, just leave a voicemail. And we are back. I do want to thank Jennifer Drayton and Star Wars Combine for talking with us. Please check them out. It's swcombine.com. They've got a good community that's been there for a very long time. So it's very well established. And if LucasArts can't take them down, then there's got to be something good there. So check it out. There's no risk or anything, and no chance that it won't run on your computer. One thing that I wanted to start doing this week. See, okay, before there was a web to have games on, there were BBSs, bulletin board systems. That's how I spent my childhood. You called in to someone else's computer with a modem, and you would play text games on them if you weren't busy leeching files off of their computer. I fondly remember spending all my time playing games like Trade Wars, Legend of the Red Dragon, and some other obscure ones like Murder Motel, Operation Overkill, several other ones. I mean, hell, I wrote a door game in 1992. It was in Quick Basic, and I actually got $40 worth of shareware registration fees off of it. But those are my memories. What are your memories of door games, and do you still play any today via any of the Telnet servers? I know there's a bunch of Trade Wars Telnet servers around. Legend of the Red Dragon still around. You can probably Google and find a bunch of them. Call us up on our Skype line at Bobby Blackwolf Show, or you can email me your stories at blackwolf@allgames.com. This is our question of the week. Do you have any interesting BBS door game stories? Now, as incentive, I actually have something to give away. Funcom, who graciously appeared on our show last week, emailed me a bunch of keys that would allow you to download Anarchy Online and its two award-winning expansions, Shadowlands and Alien Invasions. And it also gives you a free month. And now, for those of you who are concerned, yes, Anarchy Online, the basic, is completely free. Free download, it's app-supported, whatever. But its expansions are not. And also, this gets you 30 days with those expansions. And I'm also told that you get a little pre-order bonus Leet, which are the cute little wormy characters that are in there that sit in the newbie areas, and they spout out things like how they'll own you and how they'll get their main character to deal with you and stuff like that. So if you send in a story and you are interested in getting a key, let me know. And if I like your story, I'll send you a free Anarchy Online key courtesy of Funcom. If you don't have a story about BBSs and you still want a key, don't worry, we'll just have another question next week. I don't think I'm going to get rid of all the ones they sent me. Gita loved Trade Wars as well. Trade Wars 2002 with its 100 turns a day was some of the ones I played on. Now, speaking of PC games, we're going to switch from old games to stuff that's been happening now. MCVUK.com reports that Microsoft admitted to killing PC gaming by accident. I guess they didn't think they were going to do it, but they have pledged to put the game back into Windows, admitting that its lack of investment in PC has been killing the platform. The firm has outlined an 18-month drive to establish games for Windows as a platform with the credibility of PlayStation and Xbox ahead of the launch of the Vista operating system. Product manager Kelly Stanmore says, "It's our biggest ever investment in Windows gaming. The Windows business is down 10% year-on-year, and we've lost shelves of space. We're killing off that community without the retail support. Microsoft has neglected PC gamers as it pushed forward with Xbox, but the advent of the Xbox 360 will mark a defining moment for its gaming ambitions." Group manager Chris Donahue says that we're putting the game back in Windows. We're over the hump with the Xbox 360, so now it's ready to build Windows as a platform. Now, key to this is a bespoke retail concept offering Xbox 360 and games for Windows titles plus a cross-compatible range of peripherals integrating the gaming experience. And the publishing community is also throwing its weight behind the push, with the major publishers even redesigning their PC boxes to flag up games for Windows in a similar way to console format branding. So it's a marketing push, mainly, and hopefully it will get people to go back to developing PC games other than, you know, standard first-person shooters. Because I don't personally like first-person shooters. I understand that they're very well-designed games and they're pretty and everything. But I don't play that many PC games because I don't play first-person shooters, and that's really all that ever comes out. Gita says that he bought a Microsoft PC game yesterday, Dungeon Siege 2. And a couple of people obviously are bringing up Linux when they're talking about this because there might not be that many games for Windows. There's less for Linux, and it's just because nobody... There's a couple problems with Linux. One of the main ones is the same problem that MS-DOS had in the early days, that everybody has a different version. Interlogic even says that. The only OS where every user has a different version. My version of Linux is different from Interlogic's version of Linux. His is probably newer and more up-to-date. But he does say that World of Warcraft plays very well in Linux. You're kind of working with Sedega or Wine or any of those. DC Nate says that kids living next to him in the dorms last year got World of Warcraft working in Linux with sound. So a lot of people are talking about what games play in Linux. But, you know, one of the other things is that to develop games for PC, there's not a licensing fee or anything like that like there is on a console. Therefore, there's a lot more players in the PC games market, which means that the signal-to-noise ratio is really bad in the PC gaming market. There are games that are released on PC, like The Sims, which is the top-selling PC game of all time, doesn't really go very near any like top console sales numbers. There's just more money to be made in consoles because it's harder to make games for consoles. You actually have to have money. Whereas, you know, the PC game environment is really, you know, there's a lot of independent developers, and while independent game developers are great for the industry and for creativity, there's some that are independent game developers for a reason, and unfortunately that's kind of turned people off to PC gaming, and you know, that's why we're, you know, the only games that come out are MMORPGs or first-person shooters, except for the very occasional game like Dungeon Siege 2 that would come out that breaks that stereotype. I'd love to see more PC games come out that are creative and fun and not just another first-person shooter or something to show off your graphics card with. Interlogic says that with consoles, they are only really there for games. PCs are not just there for the games. I'm sorry. Consoles, the new generation, if you haven't been paying attention, is that they are there to be your DVD player, your music player. Have you noticed that? So, you know, they're trying to make consoles more into computers, but right now, yeah, they are games. Gita is upset that I don't even mention real-time strategy. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. I don't play those either, so I don't play real-time strategy. But he says that it's the best genre ever. I need to pull out StarCraft. I bought it when it came out in 98. Was it 97 or 98? I was in college at the time. I remember which dorm room I was living in when I bought StarCraft. But I'm going to go see if there's anything else in my little short list of things. Apparently a rumor is going around, and this is a rumor. This is one of those, I read it on the interweb, so it must be true. It's one of those, so, you know, take it with that kind of grain of salt. Apparently 2K Games is releasing a football game on the Xbox 360. And there was some quote, and I don't have it on our forums, and I have no clue if it's right or not, because apparently it was on IGN for a whopping like 10 minutes before it went down. People have kind of known that, you know, 2K Sports, they're working on a football game that doesn't use the NFL license, but some people are thinking that since the NFL license doesn't kick in, that maybe they're working on an NFL game. I don't think they are. Chris Phil, who's been a longtime listener and chatter, he says that they're probably going to wait a little while, but they are going to get back into the football gaming business. So I just wanted to throw that out there. I just saw that post on the forums right before I went on the air. DC Nate says that the game is actually called, quote, a football game, unquote. Interlogic thinks he's going to make so much money on the Xbox 360 marketplace, probably more than Velocity Girl. Well, what we're going to do is we know that you really don't have the time to look through the latest new releases, and so we do that for you in North America. We still haven't named it. I call it New Release Tuesday, but it's probably going to get changed very soon when I make some audio. So this is why you're going to have no money by Wednesday. These are all the games coming out this week. Coming out on all three consoles, Scooby-Doo Unmasked by THQ is where you must help Scooby and his friends solve the mystery behind mechanical monsters that have gone haywire. Dress Scooby in different costumes to equip him with special abilities. Also comes out on the Game Boy Advance this week with a DS release following in October. Coming out on Xbox and PS2, Burnout Revenge by Electronic Arts, and it's where it's not about winning. It's not about riding or dubs or gaudy neon lights. It's about an utter disregard for the rules of the road and total domination. This time it's personal. This time it's about revenge. The sequel to 2004's Racing Game of the Year, Burnout Revenge straps gamers into the fastest, most dangerous racer on the road. Fight dirty or go down in flames. The only rule is that is complete automotive anarchy. Built for unprecedented destruction, Burnout Revenge challenges gamers to exact their revenge on rush hour traffic, vindictive rival racers, and anything else that comes between them and the finish line. Featuring multi-level tracks designed for fighting, wicked vertical takedowns, explosive new crash breakers, new gameplay modes, and wide-open crash courses for epic crash sequences that put Hollywood to shame, Burnout Revenge redefines speed and aggression for the ultimate in vehicular combat. It received a 9.1 from GameSpot and an 8.9 from IGN. It's also coming out for the PSP. And also on Xbox and PS2, Evil Dead Regeneration by THQ is a continuation of the Evil Dead 2 film, with Bruce Campbell voicing the role of Ash. Enter an all-new Evil Dead experience as Ash finds himself arrested, convicted of murder, and sentenced to Sunny Meadows, an institute for the criminally insane. Though better than the madness he escaped hidden within the woods, he quickly learns the evil and has only become more malevolent. Deep in the basement of an insane asylum, the mad Dr. Vingo combines technology with the Book of the Dead, aka the Necromonicon, to fulfill perverted experiments of his very own. Hell-bent on using science to harness the Necronomicon's powers, the malevolent doctor unleashes the book's all-powerful evil on the world, creating a new breed of deadites, monsters, and experiments gone wrong, twisting reality into a hellish strudel and leaving mankind with that not-so-fresh apocalyptic feeling. For PS2, Armored Core 9 Breaker by HTEC is the ninth game in the Armored Core series. The series makes a return to arena-based gameplay with a game that is not just primarily arena fighting, but is almost exclusively arena fighting. It received an 8.3 from GameZone.com. And Urban Reign by Namco is an urban brawler action game from the developer of the Tekken and Soul Calibur fighting games. Gang life and street justice rule the inner city, turning neighborhoods into war zones. One of the city's many gangs has hired you to protect their leader, plunging you into a war that involves corruption spanning from the streets all the way to the upper levels of city government. These fights aren't timed. There are no referees. Use what you can. And there's no such thing as a clean fight. Those are the PS2 releases on Xbox. Dynasty Warriors 5 by Koei is where players return to an ancient land torn apart by chaos, where the mightiest warriors in history will march into combat. Take control of these fearless fighters in this martial arts epic where passions and dreams will live and die on the battlefield. Some will fight for peace, some for glory, and others for power. encounter the largest cast of characters ever assembled, conquer massive battlefields, master a spectacular arsenal of weapons and attacks. Welcome to the greatest Dynasty Warriors adventure of all time. And also on the Xbox, Tecmo Classic Arcade by Tecmo contains 11 classic games for $29.99, such as Tecmo Bowl, Rygar, Star Force, Solomon's Key, Bomb Jack, Tecmo Cup, Pinball Action, Pleiades, Senjo, Swimmer, and Strato Fighter. But, wait a minute, don't jump up and down for joy yet, sports fans. The Tecmo Bowl that's included is the coin-op version, not the 8-bit NES version that we all know and love. Because of that, it received a 4.8 from IGN. Coming out for the PSP after their very successful European launch, Grip Shift by Sony Online Entertainment is a stunt racing game with puzzle challenges and more than 100 levels. It's the first video game for the PSP to combine high-flying stunt driving and unique puzzle-solving action in an all-out pedal-to-the-metal driving experience. Players will race as one of six unique characters in souped-up vehicles as they stunt their way through intense, twisting levels while collecting power-ups, avoiding traps, beating the clock, and challenging friends. Featuring enhanced aerial physics with an intuitive control system, players will perform awesome aerial jumps for massive hang time and puzzle-like driving challenges with multiple routes, shortcuts, loops, jumps, and power-ups. Compete in single-player race mode against the CPU or enjoy multiplayer action with your friends in head-to-head wireless multiplayer. Create and design custom levels to share with your friends or play in one of eight bonus games for outrageous fun. It's an original breakthrough combination of stunt driving, platform action, and puzzle solving designed exclusively for the PSP. It received a 3.5 out of 5 from the official PlayStation magazine. Also for the PSP, Medieval Resurrection by Sony Computer Entertainment Europe is inspired by the myths, characters, and environments of the popular PS1 franchise. Medieval Resurrection provides players with an enchanting storyline filmed with numerous levels and gameplay locations, supported with various characters, including numerous enemies, weapons, and minigames that take place in the realm of Gallowmere. In single-player mode, players follow the role of Sir Daniel Fortesque and embark on a series of events to defeat the evil sorcerer Zarek. During Wi-Fi gameplay via ad hoc mode, players can compete head-to-head in various arcade-style minigames. For the Game Boy Advance, LEGO Bionicle Maze of Shadows by THQ lets you take control of six heroes as you explore the dangerous and trap-ridden Maze of Shadows, solving puzzles and trying to save your people. Six great heroes, the Taometru, search for the power to awaken their sleeping people, the Maturan. They have entered the deadly Maze of Shadows, an underground labyrinth teeming with unfriendly Rahi full of traps and puzzles. Captured by the vicious, here we go again, Karzahani, the Taometru are forced on a quest to the very heart of the Maze of Shadows. Now you must lead them through the many dangers ahead. Take control of all six Taometru and use their individual special skills to overcome the challenges which face them. And just so you guys know, it has absolutely nothing to do with the LEGO toys. Now, usually I don't really cover PC games because there's a lot of games that people aren't really interested in that are on them, but I'm actually going to cover them. EverQuest 2 Desert of Flames by Sony Online Entertainment is the first expansion pack for the massively multiplayer role-playing game from Sony Online Entertainment. Desert of Flames offers new quests, monsters, and items in player versus player combat. For the first time in MMO, players will be able to scramble up crumbling cliffs in search of treasure and adventure in thrilling new zones all set within the colorful Arabian Nights theme. As players battle over 40 new fearsome creatures, many will enjoy the level range increased to 60. Players can also express themselves with new spoken emotes and share loot with others through special guild vaults. With new epic encounters designed for level 45 and up, and the rumor of fearsome twin metallic dragons, there's plenty of exciting new activities for everyone to enjoy. Or if you're not in EverQuest 2, but you're in the original, EverQuest Depths of Dark Hollow by Sony Online Entertainment expands Sony's massively multiplayer online role-playing game by allowing players to play as monsters, explore new areas, and follow new storylines. It will have you adventuring in raw, bleak caverns and facing the most formidable monsters yet. It features five new feral predators, spectacular new underground environments, and countless new missions, raids, and events. Getting away from Sony, The Sims 2 Nightlife by Electronic Arts is the second expansion to Sims 2, Max's life simulation game. Let your Sims experience a night on the town that's rife with night-dwelling creatures, including vampires. Your Sims will be able to dance until dawn, hang out at the French bistro, or strike up romance at the local bowling alley with that special Sim. Whether your Sims are going out on dates, to partying, or at all the cool hotspots with their friends, it's sure to be an unforgettable night. And finally, RPG Maker XP, by Enterbrain, will be released as a $60 download on download.com for its devoted and rabid niche fan base. In this product, you create your own RPG from the art to the scripting with this popular tool that generally only sees console releases in North America, but it's very popular out in Japan, and there's a lot of websites about it. So if you're into programming, look for RPG Maker. And that's why you'll be broke, have no money by Wednesday. Rare makes the obligatory Sony releases paid content every other month. Blizzard makes it free. Solomon's Key was a good game, going back to the Tecmo classics there. I just, from what I understand, just that collection blows. And that's the way the reviews are. I haven't done it myself. Interlogic says that Burnout Revenge will cause more kids to steal their parents' cars and crash them. Fifth Dream wants to crash his mystery machine, referring to the Scooby-Doo game. Gene Starwin says that Bruce Campbell in anything is awesome. Interlogic says Bruce Campbell could take a dump in a box and it would be good. And Fifth Dream says that Bruce Campbell knitting scarves for dummies wasn't all that good. And Chris Phil is echoing my sentiments, hoping that the Burnout Xbox Live works this time. I had some issues with the Burnout 3's Xbox Live. So anyway, that is all the time we've got for this week's edition of the Bobby Blackwell Show. I want to thank you all for listening. We'll be back again next week on Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, here on All Games Radio Online. Check out the Shoutcast stream posted on our website, allgames.com/podcast. Now, next week, we will be playing the last of the interviews I made at DragonCon 2005. I hinted at this on our forums, but I had the honor of being able to walk right up to the brains behind HomestarRunner.com, and I asked if they had time to do an interview with a small podcast about games, about the games on their site. And they graciously agreed. So I interviewed both Mike and Matt Chapman, as well as Jonathan Howe, who's the actual programmer of the games in Flash. And we'll be playing both of those interviews next week. And also next week, it's a very special segment, thanks to the upcoming release of We Love Katamari. I've had the import version of the game since it came out in Japan, and I've kind of been biting my tongue talking about it. But next week, we will finally unleash my unprofessional, highly biased, hype-filled review of We Love Katamari. You're not going to want to miss that. Feel free to leave a voicemail with us on any topic or just leave a bumper for us to use on our show on our Skype line, Bobby Blackwolf Show. You can also email your thoughts and opinions to me at blackwolf@allgames.com, and you can join our official forums at allgames.com to take part in our community. And remember, our question of the week is about BBSs. If you have any BBS stories about BBS door games, let me know. But for those of you here listening live, it's time for the All Games tradition of reading the chatters. Apulo, Kambot, Chancer of DC Nate, Duality, Alt, Burr, Doomplague, Drunk Pandas, Gita, Necobun, Oshi, Rare, Refi, THK, Idol Christian, Arcatan, Bam Bam, Burning Paper Sun, Bytag, Chrisville 1724, D5T, Dazelle, Empty Thought, Fifth Dream, Gene Starwin, Hi, Helter Skelter, Interlogic, Nuxonic, Meru, Mecha, Mediocre, OSU Fan, Semisuki, Searching Kel, Soul Brother Rule, Sub Z, T27 Duck, Tedekin, The Raven, The West Exit, Tiger Claw, Visid, and Wyland. Once again, I want to thank you all for listening to the Bobby Blackwell Show on All Games Radio Online. See you next week.
A winner is you. If you wish to comment on any of the topics on tonight's episode, you may leave a voicemail on our Skype line, Bobby Blackwell Show, via email at blackwolf@allgames.com, or by joining our official forums at allgames.com. The views and opinions expressed on tonight's broadcast are not necessarily the views and opinions of All Games Productions.